The one verse we'll be focusing on is John 8:12. However, I got Jared to read it all just to give us a bit of understanding of the dialogue between Christ and the Pharisees, so I can be on the same page as you guys. So I'll read it once more and then we'll pray. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'll pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you for Christ. We thank you for his light, this saving light. We pray today that this message may be a blessing and a conviction to everyone here in this room. We pray that your Holy Spirit move amongst us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this message I prepared takes up about 15 minutes, and it's only on one verse. But funny enough, I've prepared, about 15, 20 odd messages now, and this one verse has been somewhat the most convicting message I've prepared on the one verse. So I hope I can share with you these convictions and it'll be a blessing to you guys as well. So there are three big things I want to look at today just to unpack and understand what Christ is saying here. So the first thing is context. So context is going to help us understand this verse, obviously. Secondly is, what did Christ mean when he said, I am the light? And then thirdly, what is darkness? So what is this darkness Christ is talking about? So Jesus is still at the Feast of Tabernacles, and in the end of chapter 7, we see Christ makes this absurd claim that he is the water, you know, of life. Who comes to him will never thirst again. And he says this whilst they're celebrating and going through the rituals, remembering how God provided water for their forefathers in the wilderness. So in verse 12, Jesus is in the busy part of a temple. Now, the temple is very different to how the modern day church is set up. Within our church, for instance, I could walk into the back, I could walk into the creche, I could walk into the office. There's no restrictive areas. There's no not welcome zone. The only place I'll probably be not welcomed is the female toilets. But in the temple, it was very different, you know. You'd have some sections where it's very restricted and you can only have, you know, men go in. Other sections, females were allowed in. Other sections, Gentiles were allowed in. Sections where Gentiles weren't allowed. So in this area where Christ is speaking, he's speaking in what they call the court of woman. And this court of woman is somewhat restricted, but females were allowed. So you'd have males and females. And during the Feast of the Tabernacles, you'd have thousands. You know, one person said there would have been up to 5,000 there. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, they had these candelabras set up. For me, I had to Google it, and once I put it in Google, if you imagine, or if you know a bit about the Jews, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture. You have a candle, and then you have all these arms hanging off. Anyway, so it turns out that's a candelabra. And with during the Feast of Tabernacles, they'd have all these candles set up within the temple. And if you're looking at the temple from the outside, it would just be radiant, you know, just so much light coming out of the temple. And it's during this time Christ gets up and says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now, everyone there knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. So it's not a general comment Christ is making, it's real specific here. And the prophet Isaiah even mentioned the light of the Messiah. So within the book of Isaiah, we have these messianic texts. And one of them comes from Isaiah chapter 45. So if you want to turn to that. Sorry, Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And verses 5-7. It's on page 1041. 1041. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. So here Jesus is making a reference to the messianic prophecy in Isaiah 42. But he's also calling himself God. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament, how many times you hear God use the term I am to describe himself? And Jesus isn't saying that I am a light in the world. He's not saying I'm a reflective light. He's saying I am the light, the Messiah, the Lord. And all those who were listening in that court of a woman at the time knew exactly what Christ was talking about there. So, that's enough for context. So, what did Jesus mean when he says, I am the light? So there's seven things are concluded on here when Christ said it. So the first thing is, Jesus being the light of the world means the world has no other light than him. If there is going to be a light for the world, it needs to be Jesus. It is Jesus or darkness. There is no third alternative. You cannot produce your own light. We are in darkness, and even in darkness, we cannot reflect light unless light is given to us. So secondly, it means therefore that all the world and everything in it needs Jesus as their light. We need light, and the only place we're going to get this light is from Jesus. Thirdly, it means that this world was made for light. This is not a foreign light. This is the light of the owner of the world. When this light comes, it not only makes sin as plain as day, but it also makes everything good in the world shine with its full and true beauty. The light of Christ is native to this world. Number four, Jesus being the light of the world means that one day this world will be filled with his light. And all darkness and works of darkness and all the sons of darkness will be cast out. That's why we see Jesus make so many references in the Gospels to hell as outer darkness. In that day, all will be light. Jesus, the radiance of the Father, will fill the world, and everything will be beautiful with his light. Number five. No man or angel can approach the Father and intercede for us. The glory and holiness of the Father is too much to bear. All the more reason as to why we need this light to be our advocate. Number six. Those who follow in the light can expect to see light. They will not be left in darkness. All works of darkness will leave them uncomfortable. And we'll expand on this point a bit more later on. And there will be victory over darkness. Number seven. All light that comes from Jesus is saving light. It is the light of life, as he claims. Light is the active power that dispels darkness. And Jesus Christ is the light of truth that dispels darkness of falsehood. Jesus Christ is the light of wisdom that dispels the darkness of ignorance. Jesus Christ is the light of holiness that dispels the darkness of impurity. Jesus Christ is the light of joy that dispels the darkness of sorrow. Jesus Christ is the light of life that dispels the darkness of death. What a magnificent metaphor. Just as ships follow lights to ensure safe passage, so must we seek safe passage for our soul. Just as we reach out to switch on the lights at home to light up our path, we must seek a light worthy of directing our paths. Just as the sun rises in the morning, illuminates and provides growth, we must look for a light that can provide spiritual growth. Just as a light permeates in every crack and crevice in a room. We need a light strong enough to show us the evil and sin of every part of our being. All other lights are false and cannot stand the test of time. False lights such as reason, religion, philosophy, liberalism, conscience, but all false lights, tools of the devil in one way. And when it's time to go out in the valley of the shadow of death, they will prove themselves worse than useless. The whole world lies in darkness. Genesis 1, very first chapter of the Bible, tells us that God saw that light was good. He saw that light was good and separated it from darkness. There is an absolute separation between light and darkness from the first day, from the very beginning. An absolute antithesis. And here in verse 12, the distinction is reiterated. Jesus says, I am that light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So then, let us define darkness. Who is in darkness? And can Christians be living in darkness? Now, a biblical understanding of the word darkness is associated with the ignorance of divine things, wickedness, or sin in general. Darkness is associated to every living being without the light, Jesus. The Bible clearly teaches that we all fall short of the glory of God, that there is none good, and that we all our works are tainted by sin. Therefore, we can conclude that all of humanity, from Adam to us, are in darkness. The consequences of darkness is an eternity in hell. As we have heard, the Bible refers to an outer darkness multiple times. Which brought one person to ask the question, then how can we escape this darkness? How can we leave the misery of helplessness? Jesus says, see, in this verse, I know the way. He says, I know the way out of darkness, the way out of ignorance, the way out of sin. I know the way out of the darkness of sadness and sorrow, the darkness of death. Follow me, and I will lead you to life, eternal life. This is a massive claim by Jesus here. It's huge. The first century listeners, those listening to Christ, would have understood that word follow as to be like a soldier follows his commander into uncertainty. As a slave follows his master. To be a follower of Christ means to be totally sold out. To be given over, to follow him. To be able to say, as the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, firstly requires a faith in this Jesus as the light of the world. And repentance, simply meaning confessing your sins and going to this light, walking towards this light, turning your back on darkness, confessing, acknowledging that there is no light in you, that you need Christ's light to lead you to eternal life. We need to be completely given over in obedience to Christ to follow him as a slave follows their master. Now, all Christians have this light of life, and it's given to us. However, all Christians still struggle with certain darkness. We still struggle with sin, but when the light uncovers our sin, when we see the evil within us, we must continue to Jesus and cry out for mercy to have victory over darkness. Funny that it was this part that really got me. When you read your Bible, the more you sin under God's word, and the more I studied this, it's Christ's light that was shining upon certain sin in my life. And it's Christ's light that shines upon your sin as well. And we need to continue to run to the light. We need to continue to repent. We need to continue to come to the fountain of light, to the eternal burning sun. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This morning, Chris mentioned a couple of verses in Revelation chapter 21, and we can turn to it. Revelation chapter 21. And I didn't come across them in my study, but it's good that Chris mentioned it. I'll read from 22. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of a sun or of a moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." Now, coming back to this idea of darkness and what we can take from it as Christians. Again, you know, as some Christians, including myself, there's certain sin in our life that we're comfortable with. But we're going to have an eternity of pure light. There's no night time there. There's no secrets there where we can, you know, have our little sins. And if we're not ready to deal with our sin, if we're not ready to deal with the light and come to the light and follow the light now, I'm telling you, if you think about it, if you're not comfortable with it now, it's going to be 24/7 in heaven. It's going to be there all the time. "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light." If you're a Christian, this is like the warm-up. It's heaven's eternal. We need to come to Christ. We need to get used to following in Him. If we are truly saved, we need to come and walk. And we need to see Christ as who He is, as the light. There is no room for darkness in heaven, nor should we have justification for darkness now. And that was the biggest thing for me as well when I was going through this text. To conclude tonight, is Jesus your light, or have you other lights in which you place your hope in? Has Jesus made known to you your sins? Jesus invites you to come and follow Him. Confess your sins. Make Jesus the center of your life so that you may see the path required that leads to eternal life. We need to share the light with this fallen world and reflect this light before men. Jesus is the light of the world. Have you this light? I pray. Father, we thank you again for this passage. We thank you for this bold statement that is so clear, that Jesus is the light of the world, and those who follow Him will have eternal life. Father, as Christians, we have sin. Help us always come running back to the source of light. Help us always come back running to Jesus, to repent and confess, and to follow Christ as a slave follows his master. Give us the endurance to persevere, Father, because we know that eternity being by Christ's side is far greater than any worldly possession We thank you for Christ and what he did on that cross. We thank you that he takes the darkness out of our soul. We thank you that he gives us a heart of flesh. Father, we are undeserving of this light. Father, help us go about this week being like that lamp set on a hill, reflecting your light. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.